Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. It's great having you here with me today. And as always, this show is designed and its purpose is to uplift, transform, to open up to a place of peace and joy, and to connect you to the possibility for healing on all levels. So my guests are always inspiring, and today we're going to have a fantastic conversation that I know will uplift and transform your life today. I want to just say a couple of things. If you'd like to get my weekly podcast, The Love Code, and the other program I do on Progressive Radio Network, which is What Women Must Know every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you just need to go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, opt in there, and these programs will be sent to your inbox. So that's one way to go. The other way is to like me over at my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and I post these shows every week, and along with other important and interesting information I come across that I'd like to share with everyone. So like me at What Women Must Know, or opt in to drcherylselman.com, and you'll be sure to stay connected to everything that is happening in my universe here. Okay, so I wanted to share a bit about my own personal journeys and process. I am very much a traveler, and I love to explore, because I think when we journey out of our known universe, out of the realities that we live in on a daily basis, we get to learn and expand ourselves. And in that process, healing happens, and we just transform ourselves. One of the countries that has always been on my bucket list is Bhutan. Now, Bhutan is a very unique country in the world. I think it is the most special country in the world, actually. I have never been to Bhutan. I have a friend who went about 10 years ago and just felt absolutely transformed as a result of that visit to this country. So finally, the time has come to add Bhutan to my bucket list, and I will be going to Bhutan in October 19th through the 31st of next year, 2020, and I will be bringing a small group. It's only a small group that will be coming to join me on this amazing adventure. So I want everyone to know, and I will give you a link at the end of our conversation if you want to get more information about this amazing trip that is coming up in October. But to really help you understand and appreciate why I am so excited about going to Bhutan and why I think Bhutan is the most unique country in the world is my guest today, who is, in fact, calling in from Bhutan. And he is also going to be our tour guide and one of the founders of the tour company that will be taking us to some very special places in Bhutan. So first of all, I want to just welcome my guest today, Kinley Thiering, who is one of the co-founders of Cypress Himalaya. Cypress Himalaya is a very a wonderful tour group that will be organizing some very special places for us to go. He is also a native of Bhutan. He has led over 100 trips to four groups around Bhutan, four groups like REI and National Geographic. He has his family involved in this company, and he is such a beautiful living example of the spirit of the people of Bhutan. And it's my pleasure to welcome Kinley to the show today. So, Kinley, hello. Hello all the way over there in Bhutan.
Hello, and Kudzu Zambula, that is hello in our national language. And firstly, I'm very fortunate to be in this show with Dr. Cheryl, and I would like to thank Dr. Cheryl for giving me an opportunity to talk about my small country known as Bhutan.
Well, you know, Kinley, it's I'm just so happy we have a good connection. We've had some challenges, so this is perfect. Can you just share a little bit about yourself? People are always so curious about other countries and how other people have arrived at the place that they are in their life. And I think it'd be wonderful if you just share a little bit about you and your journey, how you got to be a tour guide, and where you live in Bhutan.
Sure. At the moment, me and my family, like we live in Thimphu, a capital of Bhutan. And actually, my parents, they were born, they are from eastern Bhutan. And I was born in a small village in the east, far east, a place called Runsi there. And, I went to, so should I tell my personal journey or just short, the brief,
you can tell us your personal journey, Kinley. That's okay. I think always inspiring.
Sorry. Yeah. I went to a primary school in my village, and I still remember where, we had to walk 2 hours, to go to school in the morning and 2 hours back home. Those days, we didn't have roads. No. So, yeah, later I graduated my high school in Thimphu, the capital of Bhutan. And later, since my father's untimely death, it gave me an added responsibilities as being the eldest son. So where I did not go to college because I wanted to work and support my mother and my brothers, So in the year 2004, I was trained to be a tour guide. I worked with several travel companies, as a guide, for bird watching tours. So I'm also an amateur bird watching guide. And later I worked with several companies who brought tours from United States, like REI and Sierra Club. And and apart from that, I'm also a trekking guide, which I've been to one of the hardest track known as Snowman Track, so which is about 29 days tour, trekking literally. It can be sometimes technical too. So yeah, this is my journey. So as now after I met Jill, very young, a young woman who is very knowledge, hardworking, compassionate, and overall who always thinks out of the box, So where she always had a dream to bring a tour from United States to Bhutan. And also I had a dream to have my own travel business. So together we started Cypress Himalaya, and one of our offices is based in New York.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you. And that's how you met Jill, who's been helping to organize this tour. So, wow, you walk 2 hours every day to school and back from school, no matter what the weather?
Yes, we had to. Yeah. But especially during the monsoon, sometimes we had this small wooden bridge, and those days, in my village, we didn't have road. And so this we had this bamboo mat just put over, and where we had to cross streams. And during these monsoons, these streams becomes a big river. So that time like we are, you know, we cannot go to school about like a couple of days, you know. So, yeah, but if not, all the you know, the rest of the you know, the year, like, yeah, we'll be walking 2 hours back and forth.
Wow, yeah. Now, that's amazing. So, so Kinley, let's start to help people understand Bhutan. Many people, when I say I'm going to Bhutan, they go, I have heard of Bhutan, but I really don't know where it is. So, so help us understand where Bhutan is located, first of all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, I always ask my guests, like, you know, how did you come to know about Bhutan? And first they say, yes, they didn't have any idea where Bhutan was, you know. And if you try to find Bhutan on the world map, you cannot find Bhutan. You know, it's just a dot there, see. Yeah, Bhutan is a teeny landlocked country, like between two giant countries, like Tibet in the north, like China in the north, and India in the east, west, and south. So literally, it is like located in the foothills of the Himalayas.
Well, how did Bhutan ever remain independent when it's between those two big giant countries?
So, you know, Bhutan was like, you know, firstly, because of its rugged terrains, you know, like, and secondly, you know, we didn't have anything there, like, you know, that interests in other people, because so that's why Bhutan has never been colonized, you know. So there was like few invasions from Tibet. So it is not the country who invaded, but there was like, you know, the founder of the country, he's known as Shabdrung, like, you know, he had a rival. Like, you know, and so where, like, during his time, there was like a couple of invasions. But other than that, like, we didn't have anyone, like, you know, who showed interest.
Yeah, that, you know, countries where there have been invasions have left so much trauma with the people, and because which passed down for generations. Right. So your country has always been really peaceful. And that brings us to the next question I have about the Buddhist, the Buddhist experience in Bhutan, because Bhutan is a Buddhist country. Talk about that a little bit, Kinley, please.
Yeah, sure. Bhutan is a, you know, now the last remaining Mahayana Buddhist country, where back in the days, like Nepal, they used to be the last remaining Mahayana Buddhist country too. So our Buddhist history actually starts, dates back from 8th century, you know, where in the 8th century, a great master known as Padmasambhava, and known in Bhutan as Guru Rinpoche, and sometimes referred to as a second Buddha, he brought Buddhism to Bhutan in the 8th century. And according to the tradition, he founded the Nyingmapa sect, also known as the Old Sect or Red Hat Sect of Mahayana Buddhism. And later in the 12th century, a Tibetan saint known as Lama Bhajyu Drugom Shipo brought the Kagyupa sect known as Drukpa Kagyu of Mahayana Buddhism. So Mahayana Buddhism have four sects, that is Red Hat sect, which is known as Nyingmapa, Yellow Hat sect, which is practiced in Tibet, like Dalai Lama is the abbot, and then Shakyapa sect, which is also practiced in Tibet, and Kagyupa. And this Kagyupa sect actually was brought to Bhutan in the 12th century, and later it became the most dominant sect in the 17th century and during the time of the founder of the country. And now it is the official sect of the country, that is Drukpa Kagyu.
So explain to everyone listening, Kinley, how being a Buddhist country affects everything about how you live. And this is what always has fascinated me about Bhutan, the values of Buddhism, the way that Buddhism has respect, compassion, has really affected all aspects of life in Bhutan.
Mm-hmm. In Bhutan, we are always, advised by the enlightened beings, some realized masters. We are always advised to think about impermanence every day, If we can think at least, 10 or 20 times in a day, that can bring happiness, you see. So when I say happiness, if you cannot think of impermanence or death, 20 times, just think of thrice a day, once you get up, and then in the middle of the day, and then at night before you go to bed, you think about death. So thinking of death or impermanence, so that will actually refrain us from clinging or being attached to the worldly materials, my pronunciation little, okay?
You're doing great.
I'm working hard on my pronunciation, actually. So this is a foreign, English is our second language though, but it's a foreign language for us. So this pronunciation has been always a problem, you see. So I'll try to explain
great.
It
I'm
slowly.
Impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the people, they are kind of, if they're happy with what they have. So, they are not too attached to what they have. And as I mentioned, people, they try to be mindful all the time. So that's why we are always advised to meditate, which is the main device, for us to be mindful.
That's so unique in the world, Kinley, to have a culture that understands that that life is impermanent. Stay in the moment, appreciate what you have. Don't hold on, because everything will change. And to create a way of perceiving reality and your life that way, which is so different than what we have in the West, as you probably know from your interactions with Westerners, and that's where it's such a blessing for you to be in Bhutan, to be mm-hmm. born in Bhutan, because it leads us to the next question I have, which is part of this whole understanding, this whole perception of reality based on Buddhism, of impermanence, and to be mindful and be grateful and to have compassion and to be present in this moment, which is all we have. And this, the creation that's unique for Bhutan of what is known as the Gross National Happiness Index. I mean, that's so amazing. So help my listeners understand what that is, because that is truly unique in the world.
Yes, exactly. So in our tour, we'll be inviting the GNH, we say Gross National Happiness, that's GNH specialist, and we'll invite them and have them talk on Gross National Happiness. That's what we'll be doing on our tour. But I'll briefly talk about Gross National Happiness. See. the gross national happiness actually is, you know, coined or like is established, or like it is, you know, a philosophy that is like kind of introduced by our the great fourth, you know, which is the key. We address, like, you know, our fourth king as K4 and the fifth king K5. So the K4, he introduced the concept of gross national happiness, and it is a philosophy that embraces every aspect of development policies in Bhutan. It is based on the idea that for people to be happy and for nation to attain development in its like true sense, there should be a balance between spiritual and the material development. So the success and attainment of happiness for all the Bhutanese lies in the strengthening of the four core areas termed as pillars. So these pillars, like, we have four pillars. So these pillars are sustainable and equitable economic development, conservation of environment, preservation and promotion of culture, and good governance. And the GNH, there's a GNH index to measure happiness, which has 9 domains and 72 indicators, you know, where there's a center known as Center of Bhutan Studies. They conduct a survey every 5 years. For the last one was like held in 2015, and previous to that was held in 2010. And each survey takes into account like 8,000 respondents, and each questionnaire face-to-face interview can, you know, like take as much as 2 hours. All this is like, and then like all this is compiled, and the Center of Bhutan Studies releases the GNH situation in Bhutan. And like, as per the, you know, the recent survey, that, you know, there was 92% of the population said that they are happy. That's in 2015. And in 2010, there was like, you know, 90% of people who said they were happy. And, you know, the happiest people in Bhutan are, you know, those who are not married. And when I say those who are not married, they are the monks and nuns. And they are, you know, they are the happiest people in the country. And the unhappiest people are farmers. So, I mean, because of their, you know, they have to protect their, you know, it's a hard life for farmers. Like, there's a challenges, like wild animals and other things, you know. So, like, but they're still happy people. This is just a brief explanation of GNH and its four pillars.
You know, I think just having a gross national happiness department, and just thinking of gross national happiness for a country, which is the only country, Bhutan's the only country in the world that does that, changes the just the whole mindset of people, changes the values, because you're focusing on what provides true happiness. And in a Buddhist country, it's not about accumulating things like we have in the West. It's different values, right? Mm-hmm. It's an appreciation of of your culture, your religion. I mean, it's so interesting because in Bhutan, I understand that people are encouraged to wear the traditional Bhutanese clothing as opposed to Western clothing. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, that comes under one of the pillar, that is preservation and promotion of culture, you know. So which is one of the greatest strengths of Bhutan, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, how many people live in Bhutan now? What's the population? Oh, I think we lost Kinley for the moment.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes. 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 Good. I'm glad you're back. Did you hear my question, Kinley? I was asking you what's the population of Bhutan now?
Yeah. As per the recent survey in 2018, so now the population of Bhutan has gone up to 735,000 from which used to be less than 700,000 before.
Well, so we have a increasing population.
Yes. See, before our government, they were pretty worried about the increasing number of population and being a small country, so they advised to have only two children, you know, but it wasn't restricted, like China, right. It wasn't restricted, so. What the government did was for the first child, if the woman is those who are working for government or corporation, they got 3 months of maternity leave. Now they have increased to 6 months of maternity leave. So now it's 6 months of maternity leave with salary, 6 months of salary. And for the second child, the woman got 6 months of maternity leave with 6 months of salary. And for the third child, they got, the 6 months of maternity leave, but without the salary. So that's how they control the number of population. But as per one of the, articles that I read now, the younger generation, they tend to have only one children or either none. So now government, they are pretty worried. So now they said to have more children. So now, I'm just worried because if you come to Bhutan, you will see the painting of phalluses all over the country now, because that is a symbol of fertility.
That's so interesting. so why do you think the younger generation only wants one child now or none? What's happened in Bhutan?
No, there's nothing, but there's the mindset of the young people, now, before, one man used to earn, for their family and to keep them happy. But now, both the couples, they work, but they're not happy. Because if their child, they don't have any, once they give, the woman, she gave birth, and then to raise, they don't, the main problem of the young couple is they don't get babysitter. Either it has to be looked after by their parents, or either when they go to work. So it has been this problem. So majority of the younger generation, either they don't have children, or they have only one, which is look after their children, their parents. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, things are changing in Bhutan a little bit, huh? Especially since the doors are open, because Bhutan was isolated until what, 1970 something. It never opened up to any outsiders and visitors.
Exactly. That's right. It was like in 1960s and 70s. Like in 1960s, our third king, he thought that now the country cannot be isolated from from other world, you know. So that's why like he opened the gateway, you know. So like where we had the Indian president, like Nehru, Indira Gandhi, who visited Bhutan, and gradually, like, you know, India and Bhutan became very close, and the neighboring country like Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, you know, they all, we had a very close connection. So then this modern, the development actually took place after that. And in 1974, coinciding the coronation of the K4, the great fourth, you know, he actually introduced or like he established tourism.
But tourism is very different in Bhutan than other places. I mean, going to Bhutan is different than going to visit other countries, right? Explain how it's different, Kinley, for people to understand.
Because being of a young country, you know, Bhutan was founded only like 400 years ago by a Tibetan master, and he's also known as a temporary leader. So, you know, they learn the mistakes of the neighboring countries or the other countries where like tourists like overwhelmed, you know, and then spoil their environments and culture and tradition. So in Bhutan, actually, it limits the number of visitors entering the country, mainly to ensure the environment, which is like, you know, make sure that it's not spoiled by mass tourism. So since in 1974, Bhutan has actively pursued and has successfully like, implemented the tourism policy of high value and low volume, and it's like inclusive tariff system. As a result of the far-sightedness of our third king and the wisdom of the fourth king, you know, the K4, Bhutan still has a pristine environment and is one of the last living museums in the world.
Yes, I mean, I think it's only 65,000 visas are given every year, so less than 1 million people have ever visited Bhutan.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Exactly. No. Exactly. In 2018, we had only 63,000 people who visited Bhutan. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so it's very special to go there because there are only limited visas. And the other thing that is important for people to understand, there's a certain amount you have to pay to each day to the government, part of the fee to get into Bhutan. It's also unique. You just can't wander into Bhutan, right? you have to do it. To explain that and where the money goes, that's the part of the fee to get into Bhutan.
Exactly. So it is, you know, so as I mentioned, so, you know, during when they implemented the tourism policy, high value, low volume, so they had this like, you know, tariff system set by the Tourism Council of Bhutan, and where like now they have to pay minimum minimum of $250, you know. So it can be more than, you know, depending upon the tours, you see. So where from there, like $65, like, you know, from the daily tariff where which the tourist pays to the company, the travel company, from there $65 goes to government and as a royalty, and this goes to the free healthcare and free education and the nation buildings. See,
so it's so important for people to hear that, because when it's, I mean, $250 or so to go a day in Bhutan is covering everything, right? First of all, it's covering the travel, the accommodation,
exactly,
and food. But $65 of that fee is going to the government, because in Bhutan, healthcare is free and education all the way up, right to university, is free.
Exactly.
And from what I understand, Bhutan has some of the most well-educated population of any country in the world, because so many go to university.
Yes, yes, because of the free education, now our literacy rate had gone up to like from, like, you know, from 60% to 72%, and among the youth, like 92% of literacy rate.
Yeah, that's so amazing. That's so inspiring. And one other thing we need to talk about is the attitude of Bhutan towards the environment and what the goals are in Bhutan in terms of preserving the environment and going organic. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, yes, sure. You know, our, you know, it's like, you know, can I have some water, please? Excuse me, I'll have some water.
I know, you've been talking a lot.
Nah. So the, you know, the environmental protection, you know, is enshrined in the constitution, you know, which states that, or which demands that minimum of like 60% of Bhutan's total land should be maintained under forest cover for all time. So this was, you know, mainly because of our wise kings, so who always thought, you know, the thought like the benefit or the welfare or the like happiness of the people. So which is also under, you know, one of the pillar, the conservation of environment, see, which is very important. And where like the conservation of the ecosystem would prevent any natural disaster that would bring sufferings to the people, but also ensures our very existence, you know? So where like, you know, Bhutan also holds, you know, like Bhutan every year they plant trees everywhere, see, and it also holds the Guinness World Record. How do you pronounce that? Guinness, right? Guinness.
Yeah, right.
Guinness. Guinness. Sorry, my pronunciation. Yeah, but yeah, where to plant? You know, yeah, they have planted more than 1,000, like 10,000, I think, if I'm not wrong, in 1 hour, you know.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, you know, though like, there are no direct visible economic benefits from this, you know, the forest, but its conservation is a source of tourist attraction, you know, and also from tourism, we make revenue out of it. See.
Right. Well, and also isn't the goal to be organic in the food that's produced?
Exactly. You're right. You're right. Exactly. So government encourages the all the farmers to go organic, you know. So our farmers are like trained how to be organic, you know, like you know, the farmers are taken on field trips all over the country. Like, you know, the Western farmers are taken to center and east, and Eastern farmers are brought, you know, farmers are brought to center and east. And then the ways of, like, you know, how to plant a crop and how what to use, like, you know, how, like, you know, the you know, the main fertilizer, like, or the main, fertilizer is where they use animal droppings. You know,
yes. Right. That's amazing. So the goal is that all the produce in Bhutan will be grown organically, which it has been for thousands of years until all the chemicals came in, as it should be.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the more you talk about it, I can hardly wait. It's so amazing. I want to live. I want to move there.
yes, doctor, you can come. Actually, we'll be very happy to have you here. And we'll be very fortunate to have you here.
I mean, this is such a Shangri-La. You paint this amazing picture. Are there any challenges that Bhutan is having now?
I was just wondering.
I mean, there's so many wonderful things happening in Bhutan, and the wisdom of your kings that have, you know, designed the country and this gross national happiness and the preservation of the natural landscape and going organic and have pride in the culture. What are the challenges since Bhutan has opened up to the world? Because I know television just came in fairly recently, and that has
exactly.
been a major change in that culture. Has had impact on that culture, on your culture.
Exactly. Yes. Having said that, like the television and internet was introduced in 1999. It was very recent.
Yeah.
And then the cell phone was introduced very recently in the year 2003. See. And now, which has like impacted, you know, the life of the younger generation, where with all those medias, especially like now, you know, the just like in other countries, like, you know, the people always have the cell phones in their hand, and, you know, they have no time for, you know, have a good conversation with their family, you know, because, and as my personal, like, you know, personally, when before the cell phone was introduced, you know, when we go on tours, right after the tour ends, like, you know, like the day ends, so all our colleagues, my other fellow guides, we would gather in, you know, like in one of the, like, you know, restaurants or like say, or in the room, and we discuss about next program, where we'll be going, and then, you know, all our, like, you know, important, you know, topics on gross national happiness or so and so, like, you know. But now it has been very different, you know. So since the cell phone has been introduced, you know, like now, as soon as the day ends, you know, then we are like, you know, in the room, and the driver is in another bed, and I'll be in another bed, and then, you know, we all be like, you know, in our cell phone. So this is the like kind of challenge, you know, now of the cell phone. Mm. But it has another advantage to it too, you see, because we get all those important informations from there too. So like, wherever there's like advantages, there's disadvantages. So like this, you know, for the younger generation, like now, this like cell phones and then other like internet things, like has little like been challenge, you see. But another way, it has also been very like, you know, helpful, where like people back in the days, we didn't know when, you know, before the internet or television, we didn't know where, you know, what's happening in other side of, you know, other state. So, or like where there will be a blessing or empowerment's been given, you know, like to is going to be held, you know. But after the internet and after the television have been introduced, you know, now all the people has is being like announced, okay, like on this day, like full, you know, like the 15th day in the Buddhist lunar calendar, our chief abbot will be giving the oral transmission or like empowerment or blessing. So those who are interested, you come, you know, you can come to that place, the venue, and everything is. So another way, like there's like, you know, good. Another way, there's that thing too. So yeah, like challenges and also like thing.
So it's in some ways has connected people closer together in Bhutan.
Exactly.
Things. Yeah. It's always challenges on both sides. You know, it's how exactly to use technology responsibly, right? I don't know. I hope Bhutan does a better job than we are doing here, because it consumes people's
lives.
Yes,
and say, like, you know, the after the television have been introduced, so the way of the dress code has changed, you know. So all those the fashions came up. So the Bhutan has banned some of the channels. Bhutan has like banned some of the channels, like, you know, the fashion channels and all. Where like, you know, we had this during my time, like I had this, you know, the fashion where like we had this loose jeans and then the basketball like jersey, and then we had this big neck, you know, chains we'll see that like wearing by the youths, you know, during our time. But
yeah,
like it is mandated to wear our national dress when we go to school. And when we, you know, go to work, and when we go to like important sites, like the fortresses or temples, and also when we the people, those who are driving the public buses, like taxi, and then tourist vehicles, they are mandated to wear the national dress.
Right. You know, I saw a documentary about some of the changes that were happening in Bhutan, and as you were saying, the youth when television came in and then the internet, they were getting all these stations, and a lot of the stations were all these violent American shows, right? That they never had before. they never saw violence. They never saw people killing each other. And I mean, that must have been such a shock. And, you know, and then youth are so vulnerable to these images. So they said, you know, there's more crime going, kids are wearing, you know, jeans. And so that was a new problem that the government had to, you know, it's a balancing act of opening to the world.
Exactly.
So you have that sophistication, but not being so influenced that you're taken over by another culture.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. What a challenge. How do you think you're doing in that regard?
Yeah. So far, so good.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. So, you know, we just have a little more time before we have to complete. But I want to say that Lonely Planet just came out. And Lonely Planet is, the tour books, the very famous travel books. So Lonely Planet just came out with its top best countries to visit in 2020. The number one country that they have listed that is the number one destination is Bhutan. So,
yay!
yay.
I'm very excited and very happy to hear that.
I know. So they might use up all the 65,000 visas that you have this year as a result.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's very interesting.
What are you most proud about being from Bhutan? What makes you the proudest, Kinley?
Firstly, I'm very proud to be born in the country where, like, you know, we have a compassionate and wise king who has always thought about the happiness of its people, you know, and where, like, under his visions, where our country has the philosophy of cross-national happiness, you know, where the Bhutan's, like, diplomatic activities are all guided by cross-national happiness principles. We have this preserved culture and tradition, and we have this conserved environment, you know, and especially the forest cover of the country is more than the demand of the country's constitution, you know. So, secondly, I'm born in the country which is the last remaining Mahayana Buddhist country, where all the people are kind-hearted and, because of religious values such as compassion. So, in a nutshell, all factors for my pride, and also the other citizens too, is the vision of our dynamic leaders of the great the Wang Chuk dynasty. That's our royal family's name. So these are the reason why I'm proud to be a Bhutanese citizen.
Yeah, you should be very proud. You're very blessed to be born in a country like Bhutan, which is so unique in the world. So that's why I am going to Bhutan this year. And as I said in the beginning, that Kinley is one of the owners of the tour company, Cypress Himalaya, that is taking me and a small group of other people. So, Kinley, in the time we have left, in the few minutes we have left, can you just share a bit about this tour? What's going to be so special about this tour that's happening October? The dates are the 19th to the 31st. Will be 12 days traveling all over Bhutan. Can you share a little bit about why you think it's going to be a special time?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, we'll be having more of, like, you know, our participants are more of doctors and those who are interested in healings and all, you know, healings and wellness. So this is a very unique tour again, you see, which I have always, you know, me and Jill, we have always, like, you know, like to bring in unique tours like this, you see. So this tour actually is also combined with a festival tour, you know, where, like, you know, we'll be visiting one of the festival, which is the right, you know, place or right time, where we get to see all those finest dress that people they wear. You know, the women's are dressed beautifully, like, all, you know, they, once a year, they wear this dress made out of silk on silk, you know, which the woman's dress is known as Kira, K-I-R-A, Kira. And then they have this beautiful jackets made out of brocades, and then they wear their jewelries. And then the man also get to wear a colorful gold made out of silk or raw silk. And then they come with this packed lunches, and then you'll see the people from the community there, like, all gathered, and you know, like elders, the senior citizens, the you know, the younger people. So the family, they come there and you get to see a festival there, and which for Bhutanese, you have to visit a festival mainly, you know. And also there's a, you know, there's a belief that ones who witness the festival, it purifies all the bad deeds that you have accumulated, you can see. So this is combined with a festival tour.
Kinley, unfortunately, I've just been notified we're just about out of time. So we've had such a great conversation. I've lost track of time. So the show is coming. The show has to wrap up. But I want to thank you so much, Kinley. You've been so wonderful and shared so much about your very special country. I can't wait to meet you in person. And I'm sure you've inspired everyone about having Bhutan on their bucket list. If people want to join me in October, please contact cypresshimalaya.com. And that's Kinley's tour group. And that's the very special, unique tour that they, Kinley and his partner Jill, are putting together for us, and experiencing some profound healing and spiritual parts of Bhutan. Kinley, thank you so much. Gratitude to you, to your family, and I hope to see you in October. Look forward to that. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Lastly, bye. Everyone needs to email us so we can start booking the flights and hotels, and also send the deposit to confirm their spot. That's what I want to say. Thank you.
Okay, good.
And have a wonderful day ahead, Doctor.
Thanks, Kinley. And that's true, because there's only one flight in and out of Bhutan a day. Things have to be booked early. So we're taking deposits, refundable deposits, February the latest. So, I'll be sharing more information. And to everyone listening, thank you, and make your week filled with love, peace, and happiness. Bye for now.